You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. This is Tobin Arthur with the Innovation for Alpha podcast, and I am really excited today to talk about a new dental company for AngelMD in our community. And I've got two of the principals with me, both Belinda and Casey. And I'd love for you guys to talk a little bit about your backgrounds first, and then we'll get into the company. So Belinda, do you want to kick us off? And then we'll ask Casey.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually spent 15 years at Medtronic, and the largest medical device company in the world. And most of my time there was spent on the marketing side, but it's not like, you know, launching products and creating brochures and stuff. I was really on the product development side of marketing. So my job was to make sure if Medtronic's going to spend $500 million in 10 years and tons of resources in these projects, you know, we better have our market research, our market data together to know that the products and the features that we're developing are going to hit the mark when we launch many years later. So that was my job. So I came, I started in biotechnology. I graduated from Carnegie Mellon with biomedical engineering and material science engineering. And then I went to UCLA to complete my MBA. So I started this company about 2 years ago with Dr. Casey Lau, who's my co-founder, and he was a dentist, so I'll let him introduce himself.
Well, so I'm Casey Lau. I've been born and raised in the Los Angeles area. In fact, I went to UCLA for both my undergrad and for dental school. Been practicing for about close to 20 years now, and you know, I met my co-founder and wife, about close to 12 years ago now.
In his dental office.
As a patient. Nice. Love that.
Yeah, we're not supposed to have that on camera. But
it's okay if you marry them. Yeah, it's okay.
Right. As long as it turns out well. That's great. Yeah. That's cool. And so, Dr. Lau, you set up shop. Your practice is in Northridge, you were saying earlier.
Yeah, I've owned my practice for that same amount of time. Practice with my brother, and we have a pretty busy, thriving practice. It's been there for almost 40 years. So
wow,
long before I set up shop there, it's a great practice. You know, we take care of a lot of patients.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, I love the combo, the medical device background combined with your dental expertise. That's pretty cool. So what was the point at which you guys decided to launch this? What was the, you know, the moment or the evolution, like if it was?
Yes. So I am one of those, I'm an ideas person, Tobin. So I am one of those people when I was a little girl daydreaming about things that I would do or people I would meet or what kind of boyfriend I would have. Like I just was constantly daydreaming. And when I became an adult, that daydreaming turned into just, I guess, like fantasizing about different business ideas. And so I spent a lot of time, chewing on Casey's ear saying, hey, I've got this idea, that idea. And he said, you know, you just need to start trying these things. And I guess because I was working a corporate job and we had three little kids at home, like I just didn't have the time or the energy to try something new. And so I started my MBA program a bit older. So I started it in 2018 and I graduated in 2000. And so I guess I just was not satisfied with the corporate life. Like I was making life-saving devices at Medtronic, which was really cool. I got patents. One of my products made Time Magazine's Invention of the Year.
Wow.
So I was doing a lot of great, impactful stuff, but it just wasn't satisfying, I guess, enough. And so I was in 2019, I was in business school. I was on my way to meet one of my professors of entrepreneurship, and I was driving. Well, quite frankly, I was stuck in traffic on a Los Angeles freeway on the 405. And I was listening to a podcast very much like this The podcast is called How I Built This. It's done by NPR. It's very well done. Mm-hmm. And the episode I was listening to was Tom's Shoes. And Tom's, the CEO, he was talking about, you know, mission and impact and developing products that people cared about. And it really was like a Hollywood movie. I just like stopped the car and I was like, that's it. You know, I got to combine my background in biotechnology with something that I that is tangible, something that has a big impact. And I was like, I got to do oral care because, you know, we have Casey at home, who's an expert. His brother is also a dentist. And it's something that I can navigate. I know regulatory, I know product development, I know this space. So I went to my my meeting with my professor. I pitched it to him. He said, you know, it's actually not a bad idea. And so I drove home that night and I told Casey, and I remember he was standing in the kitchen when I pitched it to him, and he paused and he goes, I love it. Let's do it. And that's pretty much how it started.
Nice.
I'll say this, you know, she's probably spent many an hour coming in with me after hours for emergency patients. And, you know, she'll see the pileup of all of our waste that we have in the office. And she always thought, God, you know, what are we doing with all of these bags and bags of garbage? And, you know, it always struck me as wasteful, but there's just nothing you can really do about it. So I think some of that really impacted her. So
we also have three little kids at home, and every day they brush their teeth. Obviously we floss for them, but they got little mouths, so we use the little floss picks. And every day we would say, God, this is such a waste. These little plastic bits just go right into the trash bin. And so, you know, as a business person, you can't just go with an idea. You got to test the market. And so I started talking to people about it, and they said, yeah, there's not really anything that both is really good for brushing your teeth or keeping your oral health up and is like completely sustainable. So I went into the UCLA Anderson Library and I started doing some research and pulling up articles. And I found out that the market for oral care is a $46 billion industry worldwide. So it's a sizable market, really dominated by very specific companies. Yep. So there's enough of this pie to go around. And so we just decided let's build some prototypes. Let's find some product development partners who can develop some prototypes for us, and let's see what we can do. And so that's really how it started.
You're hitting on a lot of interesting points. And just as an aside, several months ago, my wife's sink was constantly backing up. So she was out of town at one point, and I thought, well, I'll be industrious and play plumber. And so I got down there and I was mucking around with the joints, and you know, it's just disgusting. And I finally figure out the clog, and it was all of those dental picks that you're talking about. You know, they're so small, and she would set it on the sink, and then, you know, somehow they would fall in and so they'd accumulated, and then things just, anyway, from then on, I told her, you're not using those things anymore. I'm not doing this plumbing job again, but I continue to see them sitting on the sink. And every time I see them there, I'm thinking, there it comes again. And you guys are obviously in a great location. I mean, LA is a very entrepreneurial market, the Anderson School, a lot of great entrepreneurship tradition there at the school. So you've had a lot of great resources. Maybe we can touch on that here in a second. But fast forward, so the waste, and as you mentioned, dental is an interesting space because it's a massive space. It's underappreciated. Most people focus on the other aspects of medical a lot of times. When you talk about Medtronic, for example, you know, enormous organization, but dental is a growing niche in many ways. It's a very entrepreneurial and innovative niche. Dr. Lau, I'm sure you and your brother are both very entrepreneurial. You're business owners. And a lot of physicians don't necessarily have that same experience. So talk a little bit about, as you dug into it and you're thinking about the opportunity and there's this waste component, what was it that you saw in terms of the numbers? Like, walk us through what's the goal of the business, you know, fundamentally, and you know, what were you seeing as a, you know, as an entrepreneur at the time to really attract you further other than obviously the inspiration from Tom's, et cetera?
Well, I mean, even before that, I'll tell you, you know, once we've talked about this to you, Tobin, I think you're going to find that you can't walk down the street without finding some piece of dental waste. So we knew that was a thing, you know, in terms of, you know, growing a business and, where the business opportunity, I mean, I'll lean on her. I mean, I think, you know, she's always kind of had that mentality of, you know, building a better car. So,
Well, Tobin, so one of our advisors, the legal advisors, he's literally Elon Musk's personal attorney. He was originally his divorce attorney and then went over to Tesla for a few years working in their department. And the first thing he said when he met us was, "You are working on something that everyone on the planet has to do. Hmm. So your impact, right, could be huge." Just like Tesla, right? A lot of people drive cars, but not everybody drives cars. Every single person on this planet has to take care of their teeth. Yep. So the amount of trash that is created, and the amount of impact that we can actually reduce from that waste is really enormous. So $46 billion industry, there's about over, in the US alone, over a billion toothbrushes that are thrown away in the US every single year. So if we could put a dent in any of that, we've already made a difference. And we are also trying to be the first oral care company ever to be completely net carbon zero. So we're in the process of being carbon free with our partner, the Carbon Fund. And so we're going through the process of getting that certification now. So we know that our impact could be really huge.
So when you started seeing the problem of you thinking about the problem of waste, did you immediately go towards, we've got to build products that are biodegradable, or how did you arrive at the products that you've built now?
Yeah, I would say we started with the toothbrush. Okay. So this is more of the business journey. So we said, okay, everyone uses a toothbrush. So we started with a manual toothbrush because it's something that everyone knows how to use. Electric toothbrushes are tricky from a sustainability standpoint because of the lithium battery.
Yep.
So we said, hey, it should be pretty straightforward to make a biodegradable toothbrush. And so we started with it. We started going down this path, but our market research, we literally have spent probably 400 hours of interviews with customers, with key partners and things like that, experts. And we've done countless surveys, conjoint analyses. And what we found through all of this is that, you know, people have a tough time switching from their toothbrush. When I ask, okay, well, how often do you change out your toothbrush? They say, change your toothbrush brand. They would say, oh, like maybe every 5 or 7 years. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so as a new company, I can't build a business off of someone who might switch their toothbrush to us in about 5 or 7 years. So we started looking into what are some other products in this category that are, you know, pretty high margin, but can people would be more open to switching. And so things like toothpaste, like more of the consumable toothpaste and the like teeth whitening products, floss, are things that people buy when they have an issue. Mm-hmm. So if you're walking down the oral care aisle at Target, you're picking based on maybe a certain need that you have, like maybe it's whitening or it's sensitivity or gum, you know, comfort or something like that. And they're more willing to switch. So that's why we actually started with toothpaste and with teeth whitening products, because teeth whitening is interesting and toothpaste, everyone needs toothpaste and people are more willing to switch. So all our products are housed in sustainable packaging. So our toothpaste is housed in toothpaste tubes that are made out of renewable sugar cane resin, and it's put into a recycled paper pulp box. And the same thing for our teeth whitening, it's placed in a box that is completely recyclable.
And I'll say this, you know, as a dentist, for the last 19 years, we basically provided the same toothbrush in your goodie bag, you know, with very little variation, probably 2 or 3 times I remember making a change on design, but not brand. So to get the dentists to buy in, it would be, we knew, kind of a trick. But the toothpaste, on the other hand, you know, we're always looking for better formulations. You know, I probably right now on my shelf, besides Elim's, you know, I have about 3 different brands that we recommend to patients, because not everyone is going to like one flavor versus another. Although we really think we have a great one, but you know, it's something that is very personal.
So. That's cool. It's interesting. So talk about Elim's, the product. Let's start with the toothpaste. So how did you go about formulating it? And I've noticed, I don't know if it's the same on the website versus so the packaging, you've kind of used a lavender and a purple color. Is that consistent across your products?
Well, our brand colors are this lavender color and a darker purple. And Tobin, like we talked about living in the Pacific Northwest. So, you know, like the summer times in the Pacific Northwest are just gorgeous and the days last forever, right? So the sun sets at 10 p.m. And where I'm from in Vancouver, the sun sets at around 10 p.m. in July, and it's this beautiful lavender color. It's just absolutely stunning and gorgeous. And so we used a lot of inspiration from Vancouver. And when I brought up this color, Casey said, well, you know, actually that's the official color of dentistry.
Oh, really?
So he graduated from dental school. His lapels and sachets and all that stuff were all in this lavender color. So it's just this beautiful, like, dual meaning. And then from a marketing standpoint, we took every single oral care company out there and we mapped their colors. And they were all using blue. And they were all using red, like Colgate, and no one was using the purple color. So we knew it was something that we could own. So in this category, in the oral care category, the purple stands out. It just absolutely looks stunning. So we use that for our brand colors, but the purple toothpaste is a different flavor. It's a lavender vanilla mint, which is kind of a unique kind of flavor. It's very calming and soothing. And then the other toothpaste that we have right now is a pineapple orange mint. And both of them have nanohydroxyapatite and xylitol, which nanohydroxyapatite and xylitol have been used in toothpaste in Japan for over 40 years to help fight cavities. And we have a fluoride product coming out to the market because, you know, fluoride is the gold standard. But nanohydroxyapatite is being taught in dental schools right now as sort of the natural version of fluoride. So we looked at the clinical data, we built this product and we tested it with real users and people loved it. People thought it was really awesome.
Hydroxyapatite is actually the mineral that your teeth and your bones are made out of. So when we're bathing your teeth with nanohydroxyapatite, we're actually bringing back some of the minerals that you're losing from day-to-day use of in eating different acidic foods. And so it was really kind of a no-brainer. Xylitol, interestingly, has been around for a long time in Asia. I mean, if you go into an Asian supermarket, you'll find toothpaste and gum that's actually named after the sugar. But it's actually antimicrobial. So so that stuff is was important for us to have in the toothpaste. So.
And then we designed it because, you know, I mentioned Casey and I have three kids at home. And so every night we're always like really, really tired, you know, have like a little glass of wine and just pass out on the couch. I'm sure many people have experienced something very similar. So I would fall asleep on the couch and, you know, at 1 a.m. Casey would come around and he'd say, hey, you know, Belinda, it's time for bed. So I would, you know, wake up sort of still half asleep, go in the bathroom. I have to brush my teeth with this really bold, minty toothpaste that would wake me up. And then I couldn't go back to sleep for a few hours. So I said, hey, I want to develop something that's a little bit like calmer, a little bit more chill, something that actually helps promote that nighttime, that bedtime routine. And so we came up with this formula where it's a little bit of mint, very refreshing, but it's not overpowering like most toothpaste that you would see at like a Target or a CVS. And then our pineapple orange mint is really the opposite. It's got a little bit of green tea in it, a little antioxidants, and it's got a little bit more of a bold mint flavor. So it's really designed to help you get on with your day.
Good for the morning routine or going out on the town.
What's funny is I actually like a toothpaste that kind of, you know, gives me a little swift kick in the rear. And, you know, so she wanted something different. And so we kind of compromised. We have one of each.
Yeah.
I like it.
They're both great. Yeah, they're both great.
Now, speaking of kids, is it kid appropriate, the toothpaste?
Yep, absolutely. So part of it was that, you know, because we have three kids and I, you know, I'm on these mommy blogs and Facebook groups that are very concerned about fluoride in the little ones. And people have been talking about, you know, fluorosis, which is fluoride poisoning in kids. As I understand, it's fairly uncommon, but there is still a concern. And so nanohydroxyapatite in our toothpaste is actually great for kids. And our kids use them.
I'll say this. I'm as a dentist, I'm an advocate for fluoride, but you know, we're in LA and I get a lot of patients that daily they ask me, can I get something without fluoride? And to be honest, there's not a lot of good products out there that are fluoride free and can do what fluoride does. So, you know, it was important for us to come up with a product that I was comfortable recommending, and you know, we can recommend to parents. So, yeah,
that's cool.
Absolutely, it's good for kids.
I love it. Let's talk a little bit about the business now. So you've got your first products are in the pipeline, two toothpaste, the teeth whitening. And I brought up the lavender, by the way, just because for the exact reasons you said, I thought this has got to be intentional. It stands out. It's very catchy. So job well done there. It's done exactly what it should do. Talk about where you are now. How's the product? I mean, other than people finding your website, how can they find the product? What does the next 6-12 months look like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we officially launched in July. So It's only really been a couple of weeks. We're pretty early on. We did a pilot back in June just to test the market, test the marketing messages and things like that. But official launch was in July, and it was great. Like, we were in Yahoo Finance, you know, the Boston Herald, New York Times, all these major news outlets picked up our story. A lot of inbound interest from some really large organizations. So that's been really, really fantastic. And so we have our e-com site up live. We are in the process of signing a retail agreement with a major retailer that's based out of New York, Miami, and Los Angeles. So that'll be like our first like retail space where people can go and see our product, interact with our product. And then the next 6 months is really around brand awareness, you know, getting out, getting our name out, getting people to know who we are, what we stand for, what our mission is. And in terms of product development, we have a couple of products that are coming to market. Some of them are already designed. Some of them are in the process of being designed. So we're looking at a floss product that's really great. We just wrapped up a clinical study with that in Europe. And we're looking into electric toothbrushes and find out a more sustainable version of electric toothbrush.
Super cool. On the e-com side, have you set it up yet so that people can just have a subscription and it just shows up, or is it buy as they go at the present, or how are you thinking about that?
Yeah, I personally find subscriptions either to be really helpful or they can really be like a money suck. So I didn't want to like handcuff our customers into anything. So we give them a real choice. We said, you know, easy peasy, if you want this subscription, we'll give you a little bit of a discount, free shipping, all of that good jazz. And then you don't have to think about, you know, buying oral care products ever again. Or you can do ad hoc, whatever you want to do. So we're really flexible in that way. But our products are naturally inclined for a subscription because they run out and everyone brushes their teeth. So they need them.
Go ahead.
Once we get their toothbrush situated, you know, I don't think people change their toothbrushes often enough. So I do think we'll push the subscription model. But
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I agree with you. And we're sort of anal about it with our kids. Like, we've got a closet full of toothbrushes. So any after one of them's had a cold or something, it's like out with that sucker, in with a new one. Especially these days. So talk about some of the needs. It's a very exciting line, and it's, you know, it's very clear where you can go with all of the different extensions around this. And I think, you know, having Casey and his brother as clinical advocates is super cool, built into the equation. You know, it's really a nice business story. What are you guys looking for next? Is it just continuing to expand awareness? Are you going to raise capital? You know, talk about some of the needs over the next year.
Yeah, we've raised a little bit of friends and family. So not a ton, probably less than 200K. And we've obviously put in some from our savings as well. We are looking to raise a little bit more to get through, to extend the runway. So right now our runway is about, you know, 10 to 12 months, trying to extend it to 18 to 24 months. And so we're trying to raise about 300K in angel or friends and family in a round. And I think it's called a seed round. I don't know, the definitions of pre-seed and seed have changed in the last couple of years, but I think it's a pretty solid seed round. And what we want to do with those funds is really around three things. One is really to help prepare us for expansion, right? So we've got a couple of these retail partners in place. There's others that we're talking to. So really getting set up in these retail channels. And the retail channels also include dental offices. We want to expand and be sort of the brand of choice when you go into a dental office and, you know, you see products on display or your dentist or your hygienist recommends things. We've had several medical spas reach out to us because our products are cosmetic in a way. And so we've sold to a couple med spas. And then the other things that we would like to do with the investment is around new product development, obviously, like bringing some unique sustainability products, sustainable products to the market in addition to the ones that we have now. And then third is really around brand awareness. So like really helping getting our name out, you know, reaching out to more medical and dental professionals as we expand the brand. So I think from an investor standpoint, that's what we're looking for. We're also looking for advisors. We need to help build out a network of ambassadors and advisors to help us answer key business questions. How do we launch into dental offices? How do we launch, or should we launch into dental offices? Should we stick with retail? Should we be focused on a more children's line, or is there something else there? Should we be focused on different products? Should we be thinking beyond products? Should we be thinking about a service? Mm. Right? How do we scale? How do we grow? So those kinds of things, I think we need more folks like Casey and his brother advising us on this. So I think this community, the Angel MD community, is perfectly set up for that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I love how you guys are thinking about it. I mean, there's that's the fun part about business is it's a chess match. There's no single answer, and how you slice and dice this will determine, you know, certain things. And I like exactly the questions you're asking. There's definitely some folks I have in mind. I'll make some introductions after the fact, both some really key dental influencers in our network, as well as some that invest exclusively in dental products, some of which run funds. So, you know, if nothing else, they're good people just to know, whether it's for now or for later. And this is really exciting. Let me open the floor if there's things that we haven't covered that would be helpful to share with somebody who's listening that A, may be a consumer, of course, of the products. B, maybe they've got interest. And we'll include information in the show notes on how to reach you guys and the website, of course. But are there other aspects that we haven't covered that maybe you want to throw out there?
When it comes to sustainability, I think people feel like either you're like crunchy granola or, you know, it's health. So in our market, we feel like we have to compromise, right? Like, you know, you get the bamboo toothbrush, it doesn't work that well to clean your teeth, but, you know, it's sustainable. Whereas you can get a, you know, an Oral-B toothbrush, it's better for your health, but it's not great for from a sustainability standpoint. And there is nothing more pressing than our health and sustainability at this point. I mean, if you've seen the reports from the UN and things like that, like we need a real focus in the next 40 years around sustainability. So with our products, we know that our products are clinically backed. So you don't have to compromise your health or the planet or vice versa for one or the other. So you can have both, right? And so when we think about it from that point of view, that you don't have to sacrifice the health or the planet, there's so much you can do in the healthcare space. Mm-hmm. So I come from Medtronic and I spent 15 years in the operating room, you know, watching our products being used, how much trash is involved in that, even simple things like, you know, the autoclaving, the instruments and these Tyvek packages for to be ETO sterilized. All of those things need a reboot. Need a sustainable reboot. And so our North Star mission really is to reduce waste in all of healthcare, not just in dental care. We just happen to start in oral care. But if we could, you know, reach out to the Medtronics and you know, the big hospitals of the world to help them reduce their waste and help them eliminate their waste in a more responsible way, it could be a really, really huge market for us.
That's great. And you guys are great spokespersons for the business? Because first of all, you don't come across as crunchy types. You come across as obviously you're very professional and, you know, you run a thriving practice. And so you've got that credibility, but on the other hand, a great mission. I love the story, and both personally, the way that this came about, it's super fun and unique. And the story itself is a fantastic one. So we're very excited to have you guys involved and start getting this and amplifying this story out there more widely. Let us know, let me know anything we can do to help.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for having us.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.